Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. During most of this month, the sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. And you might even need lightweight, long-sleeved clothing or some bug spray to ward off the season's first wave of insects. Let's start with a rundown of where the bright planets are. Mercury is a loss this month. It's positioned too close to the sun in the sky, and it's hopelessly lost in the twilight glare. Venus is quite a different story. If you're up early enough, about a half hour before sunrise, look toward east. You should see Venus easily above the eastern horizon, though not very high up. And if you're up that early, check out Saturn, well up in the south. It's not far from the teapot-shaped group of stars in Sagittarius, lots brighter than anything in its vicinity. Or, if you're not an early riser, wait for Saturn to clear the eastern horizon around midnight in early May and around 10 p.m. by month's end. Something else to look for, if you're up well before dawn on Saturday, May 6th, is the annual Eta Aquariid meteor shower. This puts on a decent show for the southern hemisphere, but not so much for us up here in the north, because Aquarius isn't high up in our sky. You might see a meteor every few minutes if your sky is really clear and dark. Immediately after sunset, Mars is above the western horizon, and technically you should be able to see it, but you'll need really clear skies and an unobstructed view in that direction to spot it. First, find the star Capella about 30 minutes after sunset. It's bright, but rather low in the northwest. Then, draw a diagonal line toward lower left. Mars is there, hugging the horizon. That leaves Jupiter, which is easy to spot. Turn left from the sunset point, toward south, and look about halfway up. Jupiter is unmistakable. It's easy to find now, but it's actually a touch dimmer than it was a couple of months ago, when it was a little closer to Earth. Anyway, as you gaze up at Jupiter, see if you can detect a color difference between this king of planets, which should look neutral white, and the icy white star Spica below it. Actually, to call Spica icy is something of a misnomer. Its surface temperature is 40,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which makes it blue-white hot. Well to the upper left of Jupiter is the bright star Arcturus, which is only 7,300 degrees Fahrenheit. That temperature, which is relatively cool for a star and much cooler than our sun, gives Arcturus a pale ginger ale-colored glow. At nightfall, the western half of the sky is littered with other bright stars, so let's track some of them down. About halfway between Jupiter and Capella is the star Regulus, the alpha star in the constellation Leo the Lion. Regulus sits at the bottom of a star pattern called the sickle, because it looks like the hand tool with a curved blade used for harvesting crops. Regulus is at the bottom of the handle. Or maybe you see it more easily if you look for a question mark facing the wrong way. It's about the size of your clenched fist at arm's length. In any case, the stars of the sickle trace out the head of Leo. Regulus marks the lion's heart, and its body extends off to the left. Now, about halfway from Regulus to Capella are the paired stars Pollux on the left and Castor, the twins of Gemini. Early in the evening, make a zigzag to these stars' lower left to spot the stars Procyon, Betelgeuse, and Sirius. These are the last vestiges of wintertime constellations, and they're well past their expiration dates, sinking into the western twilight. There's one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you, with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make a pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the larger bear, or Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and the head is off to the left. Many constellations and asterisms are merely chance alignments of stars that lie at different distances from Earth. But the Big Dipper breaks this rule. Five of its seven stars are equally far away, about 80 light-years from Earth. The two exceptions are at the end of the handle and on the lip of the bowl. What's more, these five group stars are racing in formation across the sky together at roughly 28,000 miles per hour. As a result, the Big Dipper's shape is very gradually changing. In 100,000 years or so, its bowl will flatten out and its handle will bend sharply. I think of the Big Dipper as the Swiss Army knife of the sky because it helps me to find so many other key springtime stars. For example, find the two stars at the left end, forming one side of the bowl. Sky watchers call these the pointer stars, and here's why. Draw an imaginary line through the pointers and follow that line downward by three fists. You'll come to a moderately bright star. That's Polaris, the North Star. You can use this little trick anytime you want. Just remember that those two stars point to Polaris. Are you surprised that the North Star isn't the brightest star in the sky? In fact, 45 other stars outshine it. But brightness isn't the North Star's claim to fame. Instead, it lies very nearly at the point where a line extended out into space from Earth's North Pole would go. So, as Earth spins throughout the night, Polaris hardly moves. Now go back to the pointers in the Big Dipper. Follow that line through them in the opposite direction, up through overhead, and four or five fists later, you'll reach Regulus, again the brightest star in Leo the Lion. So now you can point to Polaris and leap to Leo. But wait, there's more. Follow the curve formed by the Dipper's handle until, about three fists away, you return to Arcturus in the east. Congratulations! You now know how to arc to Arcturus. And did you know that you can even use the Big Dipper to tell time? It's really easy. To find out how, go to skyandtelescope.com and type star clock in the search box. That do-it-yourself star clock is just one of many features for beginning stargazers at S&T's website. Again, that's skyandtelescope.com. Take advantage of these beautiful late spring nights. The stars will look even better if you can get away from bright city lights, say to a suburban park or maybe even out in the country. So happy sky watching, and until next month, I wish you clear skies.